Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. This is J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Cart with me from the Buyer's Broker, and we appreciate all our listeners out there. Morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, J.D.
Good to see you.
It's a tumultuous time, is it not?
It is, very much so.
A lot of ebb and flow across the all markets, really, not just the real estate. We talk a lot about the real estate and mortgage market, but anybody who's got a 401k is
don't even talk about
cringing a little bit.
My I've lost a lot of my balance sheet here in the last few weeks.
Changed, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't even like opening the statement anymore. I mean, you know, Keith, I'm getting to that age where it actually matters a little bit what's in there. I still got a little ways to go.
The horizon is, you can see it.
Yes. So, anyway, it's I used to not pay attention to it. And, you know, but it's hard when you put in, you know, X dollars and you lose Y.
Well how about this? Reed Hastings is the CEO of Netflix.
Yeah.
Net worth got cut by
big
about
time.
40%.
Yeah, how about that? Huh?
I didn't have any Netflix, but I bought some yesterday.
Yeah, that's not a bad play.
Yeah.
Everybody's sharing those passwords, Keith.
They're going to put a stop to that.
They are. They're going to figure it out. That's for sure. See, those IT guys coming in again.
That's right. They're smart. You can't get around them.
They'll put the lockdown on it in a hurry. Right. So
now the millennials will just abandon them. You know, they'll do Disney this month and next month, and then switch to Paramount Plus for the next 3 months.
Yeah,
and then back to Netflix.
Which
the Clarks are going to learn how to do too.
Yeah, well, you know, the Clarks will figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Now wait, we don't have but 7 streaming services in the house.
I know. Well, it's you're exactly right. One of these days, I'm convinced the whole thing just needs to go to pay-per-view. If you know, whatever you view, you pay for.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Whatever it is, you know, just one big service. You know, make it easy.
If they did that, a lot of programming would disappear completely because there's not enough people watching it. People who watch shows subsidize all the other programming.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Keith. The good old American
way.
But
they didn't ask me, did they?
The good old American way, subsidies. A lot of that going around. So we got a lot of great topics to talk about today. Got some good email questions. Got some interest rate updates. A lot to talk about for sure. And I even got Keith helping me out with my rental property. You guys were in the weeds yesterday a little bit.
We were. It's quite a project, JD.
It is. I told you. I was in shock. So
we've got the right team on it. So
well, I'll tell you, when I went out there to look at the I hadn't seen the property in 8 or 10 years. And I had a management company who was managing it, and me and Chris owned the property jointly. So we, after his passing, I decided it was time to sell it and kind of move on. And when I went out there and looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, this thing needs some work for sure.
And, good news and bad news, right?
That's right. Yeah.
When you look at the numbers, good news.
Yeah.
Condition, bad news. But you can correct that. You remember there used to be a guy before us on the show here. I remember he would say, well, all you have to do is write a check.
No, that's right. No, that's exactly
right.
You
got a leaky toilet?
Yeah, write a check. Yeah, just write a check. And listen, money will solve a lot of problems, that's for sure, when it comes to real estate. And, you know, of course, with interest rates up, cash is still a major player in the game.
Yeah, I think that's the big story, J.D., interest rates.
Oh, interest rates, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you,
It's
Keith.
The big story across all markets.
Well, we had a strategic planning meeting at County Bank with a lot of the managers and senior managers on Monday, and you know, one of the things I was talking a lot about with our strategic plan for mortgage was how busy we had been in 20 and 21. You know, but all that was set up by the work that we did in the mortgage division between 2008 and 2019.
Sure.
Building your database and doing some of those kind of things, you know, having the right relationships in place when the time came. And
don't forget the radio show.
Well, I talked about the radio show. I did. But the other thing I talked about was, you know, I said, you know, now's the time when the focus doesn't need to be so much on our numbers and what we're closing. It needs to be on all the things that and I pointed to everybody here. I said, y'all don't worry about, but I worry about, And that's the, you know, building your database and having the relationships in place and all that. So anyway, but.
But you keep doing what you're doing and it'll be fine. You're going to hit some, you know, we were in a period of declining interest rates for a long time, and that has changed.
That's right. So, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break of the show. You're listening to House Plans, J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. We have a lot of great real estate and interest rate updates for you that we're going to share throughout the show. If you all you want to email us, just remember it's askjd@countybankmortgage.com, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker talking a little real estate today here on the show. We appreciate all our listeners out there. We always get some great email questions, and you can always shoot that to us at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we would definitely love to hear from you with any questions that you have. And Keith, we had a really good email. I wanted just to kind of go ahead and kick off the show with it today from Lynn. And she had a very great question. She said, you know, how long do you think this seller's market will last? I'm looking to sell, but not quite ready yet. And I don't want to miss the great offer we would potentially get for our home. And, you know, I don't know what price point she was at or, you know, where the property is. I assume it's her primary residence, not an investment property or a second home. But, you know, we've been talking a lot. It's really, really been a seller's market here over the last, you know, couple of years. And, you know, we kind of feel like the train is starting to maybe leave the station a little bit. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's still a good market to be a seller. There's lots of demand there and that kind of thing. But, of course, with the rising interest rates and how fast they went up, you know, that's making quite a hit, in our opinion, in regards to demand.
Yeah, and we've watched it carefully for many years in terms of where interest rates have been and how much they contributed to the demand side.
Sure.
Because you can buy so much house for your money at 3%. And when they jumped, JD, I'm going to tell you that the pendulum stopped and turned.
Yeah.
So I remember in June of 2011 when the market stopped going down and began going up.
I remember you talking
now,
about
it,
that.
It wasn't a steep increase, but
it was
you
a
could
point.
Look back and pick that bottom.
Yeah.
You could see it.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you that
you feel like this is
I do. In fact, I would say last week, and if you wanted to pick a day, I would actually say Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
This past Friday. Now, only time will tell.
Yeah.
But and it's still a seller's market because there's limited inventory, a lot of demand, and even though some of the buyers have gotten shaken out because of interest rates and the rise in mortgage, the cost of a mortgage. By the way, we haven't talked about that. There's some increased costs on the closing cost side as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you put all those things together, I think you're going to see the market shift back towards the buyer a little bit.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with that. And of course, you know, like you said, you know, I don't think there's a major shift yet. But, you know, for like Lynn, who sent us the email, you know, if she's planning on selling in the next 90 days, you're probably going to be fine. My personal opinion, too, a lot depends on the price point. You know, if you're in that entry-level first-time home buyer market, there's still not a lot of inventory out there for those buyers. There's probably still plenty out there that can do it. You know, maybe it starts on the fringes, you know, with that higher-end, you know, McMansion, as we call it, or, you know, trophy home or whatever, and maybe that market slows down a little bit quicker than maybe some of the others. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and at the median price point, JD, I think what you'll see is instead of getting five or eight offers, you might get one or two.
Right.
You're going to see, you're still going to have quite a few buyers. You're going to have a lot of demand. But there are some buyers that have just gotten priced out of the market. And I think one of the articles that we really was kind of first on our list is housing affordability is stressing out buyers.
Yeah.
Which it is.
No, and you're
so,
exactly
you know,
right,
I would tell you the best time of the year statistically is in April to sell your home. And so for Lynn, sooner rather than later is probably better.
Yeah.
Only time will tell based on what interest rates do. And there are a lot of people predicting a global recession. you know, in Shanghai, they've shut down the manufacturing business.
Yep.
And we're going to see some shortages from all the goods and services that we get out of China.
Well, you know, even Fannie Mae saying that the U.S. economy is facing a modest recession next year. You know, and when Fannie Mae starts talking like that,
They usually know.
That's correct. Now, yeah, I mean, one of the things that you just mentioned, Keith, was housing affordability. And, you know, with the mortgage rates jumping about 1.75%, you know, here just in the last couple months, you know, on the average mortgage size, you know, that raises the mortgage payment on the median priced home by almost $400 a month.
Yep.
That's from NAR, so that's a national number. But $400 a month, that's real money.
That's a steep increase. And remember this, JD, the price of all the other things that you purchase went up 7 or 8% this year.
Right.
So they're saying that you need more disposable income to cover those costs as well.
Yep. And so, you know, one of the things that I like to talk about as well is, you know, so if you were looking for that $300,000 home, now all of a sudden you might be looking at that home that's $250,000 to, you know, fit it into your budget, you know, your personal budget on what you may be buying and that kind of thing. And, you know, that might mean that it costs you a bedroom or it might cost you a bath or, you know, it's not the same house that you may be. And I'll tell you, Keith, no matter what kind of house that you're looking at, it's hard to go backwards. And you probably know this, you know, when you have a buyer and they've got their heart set on 4 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, and they just can't get under contract. And now with the interest rates rising and, of course, the values of homes are still rising, and now you kind of have to look at it and say, well, we really need to settle in on a 3 and 3. You know, maybe we can put the twins in the same bedroom or something like that. It changes things.
It does. And once you walk in the house, JD, if you've been, it's very easy to go up in price point, but it's very difficult to go down.
Yeah.
So it's like buying a car. You go look at a Ferrari,
yeah,
and then you go look at a Chevy, and I can tell you right away which one you'd really want to buy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so that's difficult for buyers. But the thing that comes to my mind, JD, is how many buyers at the median price are just going to hold what they've got.
Yep.
They just got shook out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just going to pause their search and see if things don't change in the future.
Yeah.
Now, the bad news for them is that rents are as high as they've ever been to.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's tough duty.
I was actually going to say that, Keith, is, you know, rents are still high, so it's not like you're going to be saving money from that point of view. But you're trying to figure out when the right time to get into the market is and find that right home and actually get under contract for that right home. And that's still a challenge for sure. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. And, of course, you know, values keep going up. That's the thing. So, you know, it's just not a right time. And I'll tell you, Keith, too, the other thing that kind of gives me some pause is, you know, we have a lot of people that are moving here to the upstate.
Yes.
You know, we've documented that on the show quite a bit. But, you know, you talk about local moves. And, you know, when that person got 2.75 on a 30-year fixed, and, you know, they've got their mortgage and they're paying it down. And you know, it's going to be hard to go to 5.25 for an extra bedroom or whatever.
And you know what's
be.
Interesting, JD? I've been talking about that for 10 years, that eventually people will not want to give up their mortgage. There'll be inherent value in that mortgage itself when you've got a 2.75, sometimes 2.5% mortgage.
Yeah.
Why? You're just going to compromise. You're going to stay hold what I've got. It makes no financial sense to move up in price point and
interest
increase
rate.
Your mortgage payment, principal and interest per dollar by 30% or 40%.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Keith. I'll tell you, we'll have a quick interest rate update while we're talking here. So the 30-year fix still floating around that 5.25 range. I actually looked at a deal for a gentleman buying a pretty good size house in Georgia yesterday, and we were able to get him 5% with no points or origination fees. 20 years still in that high fours range, and of course the 15 years are in that, you know, low to mid four range. You know, on purchase money. So the rates are good. They're just not what they were. But I will tell you this, Keith. So just in the past week, we have received more requests for adjustable rate mortgage quotes than we have probably had in the last 5 to 7 years combined.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yes, and you know the ARM rates aren't that great, to be honest with you. I mean, they're still kind of right around the fixed rates, but there's a bigger appetite for 7 and 10 year ARMs now. And you know what that stems from is people are just looking for the best rate possible. I'll give up, you know, maybe getting into a fixed rate if I can get a little bit better rate on an ARM, and let's just see how things shake out.
That's
over
right.
The next few years. I can still get into that house we want, and you know, and we'll deal with this 5 to 7 years down the road.
That's right. Once, yeah, and you know, JD, we're staring at probably 2 Fed increases over the next 3 months or so.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will pause to see how that shakes out.
Yeah.
Now, initially, when interest rates went up, we would see an increase in demand initially, but they jumped up so fast.
Yeah.
Instead of people getting in the game, they're just having to pause.
Well, it'll be very interesting, you know, when we talk about the Fed raising interest rates. Obviously, we're talking about short-term rates. You'll see a direct impact on a lot of home equity lines of credit and credit cards and things like that. A lot of times, the long-term rates and, you know, the mortgage rates have sort of baked in those increases that they feel like will probably be coming, you know, before it happens. And you're right. You know, I think you'll probably end up seeing, you know, at least another half point this year. But they're talking about maybe 6 increases over the next 3 years. And, you know, the other thing we got is we got U.S. debt to worry about, you know, and, you know, you start raising all these rates and everything else, you know, it's, you know, it can't help but push us into a recession.
That's right. The payment on the debt, the bonds.
Yeah.
So when interest rates go up, those payments go up, and it won't be long before we're actually paying more interest than we are on defense.
Yeah, wow. That's a shocking statement, is it, Don?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. So you're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Talking a little real estate today. Hoping that we're not depressing you to death with all this talk. But you know, it's I'll say when you still look at the last 25 years, it's still a great time to buy a home. You know, and you know, real estate has always been a good investment. I will say that, you know, and you look at, like you say, you look at somebody who bought a home 2 years ago, boy, they look like geniuses today. You know what I mean? So nobody could have expected, but we love to get email questions. If you have a question that you'd like to send to us, the email is askjd, that's askjd at countybankmortgage.com. And we would love to hear from you. We get some great questions that we've gotten, and we'll talk more about those after the bottom of the hour break for sure. But yeah, I know, Keith, there's just a lot of people talking. There's a lot of experts talking, you know, about interest rates and you know, like I say, we've had more requests for the adjustable rate mortgages here in the last week than probably had in the last 5 to 7 years. The other thing that we're starting to see too, Keith, is we're starting to see some of the alternative underwriting standards come back. We had one of our investors lowered the minimum FHA approval credit score from 620 down to 580. So, you know, some of these investors are now starting to look for different ways to close more loans. So that means a lower quality credit score client now has the potential to purchase a FHA home through an FHA mortgage. We're also starting to see some of these, like U.S. Bank, one of our investors, has come out with a portfolio product for second homes at 80% and under. They'll do it on a 7 or a 10-year ARM, and they are keeping those deals on the books. And they do not have the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan level price adjustments. So you can get a 7 or a 10 year ARM on a second home now around, you know, high 4s, 5%. And so that's a pretty good rate on that particular product. You don't have to worry about Fannie and Freddie. They'll just keep it on the books.
No, that sounds
some things.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. And those interest rates have went up a little bit. And
yeah.
So U.S. Bank is filling that niche.
Yeah. Yeah. Filling with some quality customers, you know, that way. So anyway, so we're seeing some of that, and we'll talk more about it after the bottom of the hour. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. When we come back, we're going to talk some more. we got some great topics here. I had some questions about interest rates. We also had some questions about the real estate bubble, Keith. So we'll talk more about that as we head into the bottom of the hour here. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate you listening in today, talking a little real estate and mortgage lending. And, you know, one of the things, Keith, that questions we received through the email was, where do you think interest rates will settle out? All I am seeing is rising rates. And you're exactly right. Of course, at the beginning of the year, I want to say the 30-year fix was in the low threes. Now we're in the low fives, you know, for the most part. And, you know, a lot of people are asking, you know, where does it stop? And, you know, I've predicted interest rates for years and years, and I've probably been wrong more than I've been right. We knew that they were going up for sure. We did not know how rapidly they would rise or how far they would rise so quickly. I just get the feeling maybe it's going to settle out a little bit. I don't know that we'll see 6% by the end of the year. That's just my personal opinion. It seems to have flattened out here just in the last few weeks. And I think it'll be interesting. And I think the feds want mortgage rates to, you know, it doesn't do them a whole lot of good.
That's right.
For them to go up so quickly like that. I just can't see rates doubling from where they were at the beginning of the year, you know, from 3 to 6, you know, in a matter of 12 months. Now, I could be totally wrong, but, you know, we'll be interested to see how that shakes out.
Well, I think their big fear, J.D., is this runaway inflation. They've got to get it under control. And that's mm-hmm. what's driving these increases.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the marketplace delivers what it's going to deliver. But we've already seen a drop in the number of transactions around the country. We haven't seen it yet here, J.D.
But you think May 10th could tell a story?
We'll know on May the 10th, won't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Now, you said, I think you said April 21, we had about 1,500 home sales in Greenville. Is that right?
Last year for April.
Yeah, April 21. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
April 21, we had approximately 1,500 transactions.
Yeah.
I did a little quick cursory sneak peek to see how many we had to date this morning.
Yeah.
And it was about 1,000.
So far, and here we are. Now we're recording this show on the 27th, so we only got a few more days.
Only 2 days and left business days in April.
28, 29, yeah, you're exactly right, Keith. We're not getting there.
So now that number won't be reported. It continues to report up until May the 10th when they pull the statistical data.
Sure.
Because a lot of transactions will close and it doesn't get input. The data doesn't get put into the MLS till the following week.
Right.
And that's what will happen. So, but it wouldn't surprise me that we were down year over year.
Yeah, even down. I may even predict down about 5%.
Yeah,
wouldn't year surprise over year. Me. You know, that's you know, those are still really good numbers for our market. But, yeah, that would be the first time, Keith, that I think we would have been down year over year in some time.
In 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and I know we've had record years. You know, year after year for at least 6 or maybe even 7 years now, I've kind of lost count. We'll still be up year over year after this month, but it will sort of narrow the gap a little bit if it falls, you know.
And around the country, I think in the macro picture, the numbers are down about 10%, J.D., this year.
Oh, you were really? Yeah. So that's a pretty good size number.
So the Southeast is obviously there's a lot of demand, a lot of relocation to the Southeast and the southern states, Texas, all the way through Florida.
Yeah.
But overall, in the macro picture, it's down.
Well, one of the things, too, you know, we had a listener ask about, you know, we hear about the recession and we hear about a possible real estate bubble and all that that happened in 2008. And things are a lot different, though, than it was then. You know, back at that time, there were a lot of mortgage products that were being offered, and the credit worthiness of a lot of the people that were buying homes really just wasn't there. And that's what created all the foreclosures and things of that nature that happened, you know, almost 15 years ago now. And today, I'll be honest with you, today it's not like that. Now, we're starting to see some of the lower standards, you know, just in this week I was talking about FHA, you know, one of our investors dropping it to 580. I don't know that they'll go any lower than that. They'll have some overlays on that credit score, you know, to qualify for that particular loan. You know, typically you have to prove that you paid your rent on time for at least 12 months and some other things. But it'll be very interesting to see how it shakes out. But, you know, I don't think we'll see I know we won't see, you know, the high foreclosure rates and all that kind of stuff again, you know, like we saw back in the 2000s.
Yeah, that was a tough time. And anybody who had a job, actually, you didn't have to have a job, did you?
No,
we called them no income, no assets, right?
No income, no assets. Think about that. I mean, just think about what that says. No income, no assets, you know, and purchase a home.
But the paper today is much cleaner, higher quality, and you even if we see a decline in pricing, in the price of a home, you're not going to see people turn in the keys, and here's why. They typically, if you bought a home in the last year, you might have had a 15% increase in pricing.
Right.
If you bought one 2 years ago, you might have 20 to 30% increase in your equity.
Yeah.
And if you bought one 3 years ago, you could have as much as 30 to 35%, depending on where you purchased it.
Well, even the rental house that I was telling you about, you know, we've owned that thing for 15 or 16 years, maybe longer than that, Keith. I think we bought it in 2005, 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. And, you know,
probably during that foreclosure.
Might have been. I can't remember. Yeah, it's been so long and I'm so old, I can't remember anymore. But I will tell you that I remember what we bought it for, though. It was like $80,000.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I mean, that's a
hundred. And it could have tripled in value.
It could have if it was in good condition. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, opportunities out there. And of course, you know, the longer you've owned a home, obviously it's hard to walk away. People are going to find a way to make it work if they have that equity in the home.
Well, I think also experience when people look back on what happened in 2008 through 2011, if you had just hung on to your home, you would have done quite well, even if you let it go into foreclosure because you were upside down in it.
Yeah.
If you had hung on to your home, you would have done quite well in the long run.
In the long run, yep. And, you know, you have a client of yours who, you know, I don't know how many, you know, homes that John purchased. He purchased a ton of homes and he did very well. He got in at the right time. He's kind of gotten out a little bit at a time, you know, and that kind of thing. And I've been really impressed with the way he did it and the homes he bought, how he managed the rental process on those. And, you know, he came out smelling like a rose better than anybody.
He did. He called me this week to map out just what we're talking about.
Really? Okay.
He did. In fact, when he called, I had just had the same conversation with another client about whether to sell or not. Mm-hmm. So if I sell that, if we're only going to experience 1-3% increase in the value of your home, might it be wiser to sell that home and move that investment into something else?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
that might give me a higher rate of return.
Yeah.
So if you squeezed out, and these are investors. Now this is interesting. I've said for at least 15 years, I was thinking 10, but since the 08 meltdown, that the investors who took all those properties off the market have squeezed the appreciation out of those and have reached a level where they might not get the same ROI on an investment, and they may begin to put some of those properties back on the market.
Yeah.
Now, just the opposite has happened at the institutional level. For the last 5 years, institutional money has been buying up real estate, competing with single family purchasers. And it has crowded them out in some instances.
Yep.
So you may see that slow a little bit, too.
Keith, I got a message last night at 8:30 at night. I didn't recognize the number, so I didn't answer it. And they were calling me about the property that we're working on to put on the market. And, you know, I'm like, okay, how did you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's crazy. Listen, we got to head into our final break. When we come back, we'll revisit that conversation. Also want to talk about county taxes. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Final segment of the show. You're listening to House Plans. This is JD from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And, man, we have talked a lot about a lot of different things today, for sure. And, you know, I guess one of the things that, you know, where you're talking about that institutional money. And, you know, as I mentioned, Keith, I mean, people, word gets out quick if you have a house. And people are interested, and still a lot of people interested in buying those.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'll tell you this too. One of the companies, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now, I know did a large presentation for CDAN Joiners Group at Berkshire Hathaway, Red Ribbon, I think they're called, or whatever they're called, that help people make offers of cash for homes. And then they charge a fee basically to use their service and basically to enable them. And I know a lot of the buyer's agents over there were, you know, talking to some of our loan officers about that product and what it means and this and that and the other. And, you know, my opinion is, and I know I'm not in the market. I haven't been shopping for homes. I haven't missed out on five or six homes. I get the frustration. But I don't know that I would be interested in paying a fee for someone to, you know, I guess if you missed out that many times, it'd be hard for me to write a check to somebody for $5,000 just to strengthen my offer.
Yeah. You know? Well, the question becomes, JD, if you had done that 5 months ago, you would have secured the property, a better interest rate.
Yeah.
The increase in value would have probably covered
for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're competing with baby boomer money, oftentimes is cash. So,
sure.
You know, there might be five buyers, and typically there's typically going to be at least one cash.
Yeah. So,
and so that's tough to compete with.
No, absolutely. So, you know, you bring up a good point, but golly, I'll tell you, JD Nelson's getting old his ways. I mean, it's, you know.
So when you send that offer in and it says 90, I recently did one where
90%
LTV. It was 90%
LTV,
but I had the banker, it was private banking in Spartanburg,
sure.
And they wrote a letter that said
Trust me, the client can pay cash. Yeah.
But have chosen to obtain a mortgage.
Yeah.
And the seller wanted an increase in earnest money and an explicit clause in the contract that said, in the event you do not close, you forfeit your earnest money.
Well, how about that? You know, well, and, you know, if you can perform, then that shouldn't bother you.
That's
right.
You know
what I mean?
That's right. It didn't really change.
Yeah.
The
just giving them a little bit more up front.
That's right.
You know, that kind of thing. So very interesting.
But I think what we're talking about is the complexity of the marketplace.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a lot of moving parts. And again, you have to have a strategy. You have to be prepared. You have to know
do
what you're doing.
Things.
Know how to evaluate property quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need a team. You need a good team.
Well, let me tell you one thing that will stress you out, Keith.
Yes.
Okay. That's when you get that escrow account disclosure and your county taxes were paid by your mortgage company, and now you're upside down on your property in your escrow account, and they start raising your payment by a couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah, unexpectedly.
We've had a couple calls actually from clients this week. You know, the escrow account disclosure that goes out, what that is it comes from the lender. The lender that's servicing the loan. And what they do is they'll send out a breakdown of the quote unquote piggy bank of your escrow money that you've been putting in each month for taxes and insurance. And then typically what happens, why they do that at the beginning of the year, is because most of the time the taxes are paid in December and January, you know, around the country for property taxes and that sort of thing. Now, what happens is a lot of people have bought homes in the last few years. They won't change the default rate where it, you know, defaults to that 6% tax rate, change it to 4% if it's your primary residence. And so what happens is you may be paying taxes for $6,000 when you should be paying them for $2,000, just kind of making up some numbers difference between 4% and 6%. And so, you know, they don't ask questions. That, you know, the lender gets the tax bill for $6,000, they're sending in $6,000, and then they're going to raise your payment up to cover that $4,000 shortage. Plus, they're going to raise it up to
next year.
Because they think it's $6,000. So you kind of get the double whammy. So, you know, we've had a couple people call this week and talk about that, and there's a process involved to get that changed.
And it's not a difficult process, but once you get that escrow notice, you got to undo it.
Yeah, that's right, and it's tough. So, yeah. You know, for our listeners out there that maybe have experienced this problem, and most of the time it's due to taxes. You know, insurance does change occasionally, but you know, typically it's not going to change by thousands of dollars. It may change by $100 or something like that. But the first thing you have to do is you have to get your driver's license changed to your new address. That's probably the most important thing. Also getting that car registration changed over on the address. And I think the DMV allows you to do a lot of that stuff online now.
They do.
So you can, you know, that's not a very hard process. The DMV is a lot better than it was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago for sure. I mean, you can get in and out of there fairly quick. And I think you have to have one other, if I haven't done this, but the way I understand it, you need a power bill or something that has that address on it to verify that it's where you live. So once you have those items, you want to go down to, in Greenville County, County Square.
It is.
Real Property Services.
That's correct.
What they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take that information down there and you tell them that, you know, you were taxed at the 6% level. They can get that changed to 4%. And they'll actually give you a printout of what the new tax amount is that you're supposed to pay on that property.
And it's quite easy to do. They're very cooperative. The Greenville County offices do a great job.
Yeah.
We've said that over the years, and we're thankful that they do. But all you have to do is go in there, get that information. They'll switch it over. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about, JD, is the difference on a $200,000 home. You might be taxed at $1,600 or $1,700.
Uh-huh.
But if it flips to 6%, it goes to about $5,000, a little over $5,000,
yeah.
Three times the rate.
Yeah, they just consider, and that's the default position.
It is
that the county takes. So you
any time a deed is changed,
yep. Any add time, a wife, add do anything.
Anything.
Yeah,
that it triggers that default back to 6%.
Yeah, so you want to make sure that's done. Now, for those that once you get that 4% tax rate and the lower amount, the last step that you need to sort of take advantage of is you need to contact your mortgage servicer. And what I would do, there's an 800 number that they all use. It's going to take a little bit of time. You want to ask for the escrow department and figure out who, get an email address or a fax on a number wherever they like to have that sent, and get the exact information that you need to send that county square with that new amount. You need to send that in to your mortgage servicer and have them update your payment. And also they're going to have to rectify that escrow account to do a new escrow account disclosure to figure out, okay, am I short? You know, what's going on? But you're also going to need to get that money back from the county for the previous year. And so that's something that you would tackle, obviously, when you're talking to Real Property
that's
Services.
That's right. They look back 2 years.
Yeah.
They will refund you up to 2 years. Now, if it's gone into any longer, they won't give you that money back.
They won't give you that money back, yeah. But once you get that money back, that money's got to go back to your mortgage servicer as well, and that will create or balance out, probably is a better word, the escrow account shortage that you received the notice on. So you know, if you get that $4,000 back or whatever it may be, you'll send that in along with the updated amount, and then they can rectify that situation for you.
And they won't leave that account short, JD.
No.
They require it to be
adjusted. Yeah, no, that's right. And typically what they do, you'll have two options on that. They'll say you can write a check, you know, for $4,000 right now, or we're going to raise your payment up so that we can recoup this money within 12 months. And that's typically what kind of triggers everybody gets the, you know, their payments $2,000 a month for their mortgage. And then all of a sudden they get one for $2,500. They're like, whoa, what happened here? And typically the call we get was, I thought you put me into a fixed rate, you know, and I'm like, well, we did, you know? So, you know, you get some of that kind of stuff, you know, that's out there. So, anyway, good information to have. Of course, if you ever have a question or maybe you found yourself into that situation, feel free to contact me at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd at countybankmortgage.com. And obviously, we can take a look at that situation. We can show you where to find your information in regards to your tax amount online. A lot of people aren't really sure exactly where to find that. And we can cover all that for sure. So, well, listen, the last thing I want to tackle, we got about 2 minutes left in the show here, Keith. You had sent me an article about building delays and high prices or slow new home construction. And, you know, I know this is a little bit different from what we've been talking about, but kind of falls into the same area, the ongoing supply chain issues that we're finding. So, you know, although the builders want, I think, to build and get more houses going, they're struggling in regards to getting supplies, right?
All across the supply chain, whether you're paving roads and or purchasing faucets.
Yeah.
There is a supply chain challenge. And today's new home construction contract includes an extension date, mm-hmm. right? So the builder is allowed to extend the closing date based on the challenges.
Yep.
It also has, most of them have an escalation clause based on the cost, primarily the cost of lumber, but we're seeing the cost of labor skyrocketing too.
Yeah.
So that's increasing the cost of building the home. And then there's also typically a clause in the contract that allows for them to substitute for materials. So if you picked out this synthetic stone and it's not available, they're not going to hold up construction. They're going to purchase something similar to it, and the contract allows them to do that.
Yep.
They want to build that home as quickly as they can, but they're facing the same challenges that everybody else is.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, we're just trying to replace our back door at our house, or, you know, where I live. And, you know, the first door that came in was off by an inch and a half, so it doesn't even fit. So they had to reorder, and it's going to take them like 8 weeks just to get the door in.
Yep. You know, I'm waiting on a home office desk right now, and it's been eight or 9 weeks.
It's crazy for sure. So, well, listen, we appreciate all our listeners out there. You've been listening to House Plans. This is J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. If you need to talk to us during the week, you can always reach us at County Bank at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And, of course, the email is always open at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Keith, thanks a lot. We'll be back next week here on House Plans.